Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the show. Fans, we are legally obligated here at the Jock Nerd Podcast to disclose that this show is made from non-GMO ingredients. It's gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, free of charge, but full of swears.
Oh, shit.
And it's also 100%
rebel-approved.
Strap in for the latest geek news and this week's comic book TV reviews in this edition of the Jock and Nerd Weekly for Thursday, April 28th, 2016.
It's the Jock and Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Hi, everybody. This is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. My name is Imran.
And my name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And that sexy felty in the corner, that's the rug boy. What's up, rugs?
Hey, that's me. Hey, what's up, dudes?
How's it going?
It's my return to blab.
It's been, I forgot what you look like. And you still look like a 12-year-old Filipino houseboy. So that's good. Not much has changed.
Even in the tank?
I think you're actually Benjamin Buttonings on us. You look younger every time you're on the show. Right, Ruggs?
He's too sexy to be on this show.
Too sexy.
It really makes me feel self-conscious.
Listen, everyone. Happy National Superhero Day.
Geek Booner.
Did you even know that was a thing?
Not until you went on our account and tweeted it out.
They're just making shit up now.
All I know is, look, there was a hashtag, it was a thing, and I jumped on. It's also National Take Your Kid to Work Day.
Okay.
It's also National Punch a Grizzly Bear in the Dick Day.
Oh, shit.
Now, is it really?
That last one is really hard to celebrate, because if you get it right, it's the last thing you're going to be fucking celebrating. Now, I made that last one.
I want to try it tonight.
No, hey, 2 days ago, it was Alien Day. It was LV 426 Day.
426, which was the spaceship?
The alien. Yeah, that's where they found all the xenomorph eggs in Alien 1 and 2.
Ooh, Alien. That's a good geek boner holiday. Rugs, I think we need National Feed a Felty Day, or like Hug a Puppet Day.
You can do that, or you can put National Put Your Hand in Your Butt Day.
Oh, yeah. National Fist Up the Slack Hole Day. How about that?
You just put your hand in your butt and you smell it.
Talking nerd.
And then you like talk and pretend you're your own.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you know what my slack hole smells.
National Hand Up Your Ass Day. I don't know if you need a day for that. Every day for the rugs is National Hand Up Your Ass Day.
Hey, that's how I check.
Listen, I want to thank everyone on the blab right now for hanging out. If you're a first-time listener to the show, here's what's going to happen. We got a bunch of geek news we're going to go over. We are going to talk about this week's latest episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Flash, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, and yes, The Fear of the Walking Deads. We're going to do it. We're going to try it. We're going to take another stab at that one. And then I got a bunch of awesome listener tweets, emails, lots of great engagement to read at the end of the show. And then if you're here in the blab, we're live on blab, hang out to the end. We're going to open up that box and geek out with you guys. And shout out to Jordan Radford for helping us out, our badass blab assistant, with the fourth box. Also, Anthony, I also think every while and then we got to be like, we got to tell people who the show is for. Because maybe they'll be like, that's all this Jock and Nerd Podcast. Who is this show for?
Human beings.
Yeah, people.
If you have ears, this show is for you. If you're a jock or a nerd, a freak or a geek, this show is for you. You found the right show.
I would say we lean more towards the nerdier part of people, but as if you've ever heard the show, or if you're listening the first time, I'm jocky and nerdy, so people that have that in them and have been suppressing that can listen to this as well.
If you're a felty that lives in the alley, this show is for you.
That too.
Overall, broadly, my point is this show is for anyone who didn't feel like they fit in at any time of their lives. We embrace the difference. We got furries watching, people. I mean, come
on. Nerd.
What more needs to be said? Just by pressing play on the show, you have joined the Empire of Stupidity, and we thank you for helping us grow this jock and nerd.
I got to explain, though. You said we have furries watching.
Yeah.
Watching because this show is live on Blab and we do this weekly, so you can actually watch us live. Or so if you're listening right now on your podcast app and don't know what we're referring to, it's our weekly live show that we also put onto podcast format.
And that's a great segue, because For those watching right now, Anthony is modeling a very sexy piece of Jock and Nerd swag that you can pick up yourself at jockandnerd.com/shop. He is wearing a red tank top that will be making the EDM rounds this summer. The festival rounds, you're going to see the jock in a douchebag tank top with his own picture
with
of
my
himself
own face
on there. Rugs, don't you think he looks, he's looking sexy?
I'm jealous. I want his face, and I want to have his shirt too.
Wait, you want him on your face?
I want to wear his face.
I think I misread that.
I want to wear a shirt too.
I'm modeling under my Spider-Man hoodie. I'm modeling the steel blue model of t-shirt.
Whoa.
Now,
ooh, is that blue? That looks gray.
Well, it's called steel blue. It's like a nice dark.
Okay. I think I ordered one.
Oh,
or someone ordered one for me.
Snap, I think.
Oh, shit.
That must be that other order. Pretty soon, we will all be decked out in Jock and Nerd gear. We also have great, look, I got a mug right here. Just check out jockandnerd.com/shop. And audio listener, all you got to do is in the show notes, I'm going to embed the YouTube of this show. So just go to check out jockandnerd.com for the show notes for this episode 97/97. You can play the video and you can check out Sexy Anthony and Sexy Rugs and Furry Imran.
I'll take it.
All right.
Here we go. Pretty accurate.
Let's get to the geek news, everybody.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
What's up, Dave?
David Mobley in the house. What's up, dude? You guys, our listeners are pretty goddamn awesome. I'm realizing more and more every day. We've been getting a lot of great listener engagement. If you listen to our last show, The Hater's Guide to the MCU.
Jock and Nerd.
That's right. It was The Hater's Guide to the MCU. That is possible,
hate,
people.
Hate.
You got to listen. We read an email from a new listener, Ron O'Rourke, who is just awesome. Has a way with words. I got more emails at the end of the show. You're going to wait. I'm teasing it. But Ron's helping me out there. He sent us a piece of news. He wants to hear our thoughts. This is what he says. Just wanted to pass along a link to an interesting Deadpool-related story. When I read a person being touched on their privates or displaying genitals, I immediately thought of Rugs. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it on the show. Now, before I get to the story, can I just point out the most awesome thing Ron is doing here? He's helping me out, people. Who puts these notes together? I'm like scouring all week looking for interesting news bits to talk about. And Ron here, oh my God, thank you for helping me out, sending us
doing your job for you.
Absolutely. You know, you two fuckers can help out once in a while too, you know. You guys are actually on the show. This motherfucker's just listening, and he's helping me out.
Talking nerd.
I don't.
No.
I don't
just
help.
Well, I'm just busting your balls. You, Rugs. Not you, Anthony. Anyways, headline of this article, Deadpool responds to local movie theater's possible fine for showing his movie. Ryan Reynolds tweeted out his response Sunday to Salt Lake City's Brewview's Cinema Pub. It's a 21 and older movie theater that serves alcohol, and it's being fined up to $25,000 and threatened to have their liquor license suspended for 10 days for showing the R-rated superhero film Deadpool. According to Utah Code, an establishment that serves alcohol is forbidden to show a film that depicts a simulated sexual act or shows a person being touched on their privates or displaying genitals. And I believe all of that is in the movie. Which was noted by a state investigator, Reynolds.
So what kind of movies can this movie theater show?
Just Disney films?
I like to get a couple of drinks and watch fucking Lion King. Like, that's what I do. I'm going to go to the theater with my boys, and we're going to order a shitload of beer, and we're going to watch fucking Mulan.
This is, it's ridiculous, because it's a 21 and older, and they serve liquor, so what are they going to show? Ryan tweeted, thank God they found a way to legislate fun, but the Brevies and their attorney have filed a lawsuit against the state, arguing that the theater's First Amendment right is to free speech has been violated, which it has. And they got a crowdfunding campaign. They're trying to raise $75,000 to fight censorship. And then someone later, under the name Ryan Reynolds, donated $5,000 to the campaign. So I don't know if it's him. But first of all, this is Utah, everyone. Let's just remember the state it's in. What's up, Mormons? How's it going over there? How's that state?
We love Mormons.
Do we, Anthony, do we have any downloads from Utah? I'm not sure.
We do get some. I'll look it up.
What do you think about this whole incident here?
Strange. I mean, like, Rug Boy couldn't have said it better. What the fuck is that movie theater showing anyways? So
it should be showing all R-rated movies, and all of them should have genitals in them. All of them.
Absolutely.
Every movie. You have obligatory boobs or something.
They can only show like
beer there. That's the first thing you're going to think about.
I'm trying to think of like a R-rated movie that's just like a drama. I'm sure there's like a British movie with Anthony Hopkins that's R-rated for no reason.
We've just for the stat heads out there.
Yeah.
And this is way more in every other state, but Utah alone, we've got 15 downloads total.
All right, so fuck you, Utah. What is the matter with – how about you just let the theater run its business and you worry about your own shit with the Mormons? I don't know. But
I like how you know how many people in every state.
That's why we have the jock, dude. He's the numbers guy. He's got all the stats.
I like looking at this shit.
Thank you, Ron, for sending that in. And you'll hear more from Ron at the end of the show. Just wait, everybody.
Ron's awesome.
Ron is awesome. I love listener Ron. Next bit of news kind of goes back to this whole entire whitewashing conversation going on with movies, Marvel movies.
It's actually very interesting.
It's very interesting. A couple of interesting bits, specifically the casting of Tilda Swinton in Doctor Strange as
– yeah.
The Ancient One. All right. So the writer of Doctor Strange, what's his name? C. Robert Cargill has come out in this video and discussed what was going through his mind. This is what he says. He says, "The Ancient One was a racist stereotype who comes from a region of the world that is in a very weird political place. He originates from Tibet. So if you acknowledge that Tibet is a place and that he's Tibetan, you risk alienating 1 billion people who think that's bullshit and risk the Chinese government going, hey, you know, one of the biggest film-watching countries in the world? We're not going to show your movie because they decided to get political. If we decide to go the other way and cater to China in particular and have them be in Tibet, if you think it's a good idea to cast a Chinese actress as a Tibetan character, you are out of your damn fool mind and have no idea what the fuck you're talking about."
So what's the Tibet controversy, that they don't consider themselves to be Chinese?
Yeah, Tibet wants to be its own country, I believe.
You've heard the Free Tibet movement. Yes, and China suppresses all of that.
Suppresses that, yeah, because they consider Tibet part of China. So that's a lot. There's a lot of political controversy there.
I mean, they're still kind of communist in the way that they control what news the people get, and they can make that judgment whether we show it. The government can make the judgment. Now, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, China accounted for $115 million in ticket sales.
Oh,
so,
shit.
Look, this has nothing to do with racism. This, of course, like always, we should have known, it has to do with money. It always has
Everything has to do with money.
Everything has to do with money. Now, yes.
I would just interject, although there was a huge outcry because it's been building Asian characters getting recast as white people.
Yep.
Although so this is about money, it's also about offending people. And I think they went the safest route they could. And they tried and they got a pretty good actress to fill that role. So
this was you're right. This was a no.
Learning about this, I was. Yeah.
It's a no-win situation for them.
Yeah, it's a no-win situation. And I think they're making a pretty decent call here.
Don't you think that it sucks that like all the political bullshit gets in the way of just making a movie? Doing what you want. Like all of this stuff, money, you know, demographics, all of this stuff, it all gets involved and then you can't just do what you want to do.
At
the end of the day, it's show business.
You gotta follow the money. It's when it's not, you don't think it's about the money, it's about the money. It's always about the money. Now, if you think of Iron Man 3, this is possibly why they did what they did with the Mandarin character. Another way to kind of skate by this thing. So between a rock and a hard place, they picked the least damaging option that they
did could. You know, in Iron Man 3 they had a China only scene or two.
Yeah.
They had like Chinese actors. Yeah.
Whoa. They like replaced scenes with Chinese actors.
They added some stuff. Yeah. China's market is huge and it's emerging. Yeah. And all these films are catering to that market.
This Chinese market thing is very interesting. Before we get to this next bit, they also, a Marvel spokesman came out to Mashable. They further kind of distanced themselves from this in a very weird way. This is what they said on Mashable. "Marvel has a very strong record of diversity in its casting of films and regularly departs from stereotypes and source material to bring its MCU to life. The Ancient One is a title that is not exclusively held by any one character, but rather a moniker passed down through time. And in this particular film, the embodiment is Celtic." Or is that pronounced Celtic? Mm. Celtic. We are proud to have this enormously talented Tilda Swinton portray this unique and complex character alongside our richly diverse cast. So, what the fuck? They just, they're like, okay, no, this is a Celtic. It's Irish.
I shit on that explanation.
What the fuck is this?
I crap on you. It's poop on you.
It's a lot of
the ancient one has always been considered an Asian character.
It's very weird. It's a lot of them dodging things, and but that I thought was odd. Now, in a related story, this gets even better. This really tells you how strong this China market is. Paramount is getting sued by China for Transformers 4 not having enough product placement. Here's, now, we know these Michael Bay movies, there's fucking product placement everywhere. I was actually like, how is he going to miss something? They failed to put in a logo. Transformers 4 shot in parts of the movie in Wulong Karst National Park, and the Wulong Karst Tourism Company made a deal with Paramount to display its logo in the film. The deal paid Paramount $750,000.
No, that's almost a million.
No, but hold on. Paramount failed to put the logo in. They're suing them for $27.7 million.
Oh, shit.
For missing one logo. This is how strong. This is this is crazy, man. China is China's going to be the next superpower.
Watch. It already is almost.
Anthony, can you check our stats in China real quick before I say anything else?
Yeah, one's give me
it's
15 one.
15 people, just like everywhere else.
It's just more 15. But man, that sucks for. I mean,
I have a solution for this.
Yes,
this whole whitewashing bullshit.
Almost 400 from China.
Whoa, that's pretty good. Yeah. Damn,
I'm surprised they get podcasts over there.
All right, listen. This is the solution for this whole whitewashing thing.
Yes.
All right. There's a little thing. It's called Netflix. I mean, you might have heard of it. All right.
Never heard of it.
On Netflix is a fucking fuckload of foreign films. Start watching those motherfuckers. I don't know. I know you don't like subtitles, but start watching them. Because if everybody starts watching these foreign films and say, hey, we'll watch it. We'll watch other movies with other people in them, with people that are not white or whatever in them. That'll start to shift the paradigm a little bit because they'll see that the interest is there. But since people are lazy and don't want to read subtitles, or they're not even curious to go, I love to watch those movies. I watch as many foreign films as I can.
Are great. And really, all we need is one of these dudes to break through and be a lead in a movie that's a big box office smash.
But we don't even need a foreign actor. We could just show them that the interest is there, that diversity, people want it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a ton of Asian actors and actresses in America that aren't foreign, but like you guys have hinted at, it's only going to happen if someone takes a risk and they make a ton of money at the box office with this guy. Imran off air has suggested Steven Yeun.
Steven Yeun, I'm looking at you, Glenn from The Walking Dead.
That is a very good idea.
Somebody put him in.
Very very popular right now,
and he's a great actor. Yeah.
And he's not playing a role in Walking Dead, or he's your typical Asian guy at all. He's just a dude that happens to be Korean, I believe, in that show.
Yep.
That's right.
So we just need one, Fisher Stevens in brownface playing a Pakistani. It's not going to cut it from Short Circuit.
You need one dude. It's because Asian girls have been in big films, but Asian dudes, unless it's a kung fu sort of karate sort of thing, it's not been happening.
Again, what does it go back to? It goes back to the money. Bring me a dude that can make me the same money, Tom Cruise can make, and I'll put him in a movie. I mean, you can kind of see that from their point of view, but it sucks.
It's just that they're putting up so much money for these movies now. They look at the American Asian demographic or the American or the other any other thing, and they're like, okay, there's 80% white, and everybody else is another amalgam of like the other 20%. And they're like, and then from a business standpoint, it looks stupid.
Right.
To bet on it. But whatever. So I mean, people don't watch things just because whatever. It's just, do you like the actor? Does the actor make sense in that role? Is he a good actor? But who knows? That's how they make movies now.
Jordan has a comment. She says in the chat, if you can watch anime, you can watch foreign films. And that's a great strategy, Ruggs. Binge these foreign films. And also binge Young Justice, people. We might get a third season if people watch it enough.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix. Just keep it. Turn it on. Keep it
I have it on a loop.
Yeah, just keep it going. It'll happen. Young Justice season 3. Moving on. Ruggs, I know you are avoiding the X-Men trailers. Are you still of that?
Yeah, I'm avoiding them like the plague.
All right, well, I'm sorry.
Is there a reason? You just don't want to watch them,
right? I feel like the trailers ruined my movie watching experience.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Like, especially, okay, I'll tell you what happens. The first couple of trailers I watch, but then when they start doing the TV spots, they start giving you everything.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. You brought that up because we're going to discuss that with another movie. But there, I'm going to spoil this trailer for you because this is it's interesting that this new X-Men Apocalypse trailer. First of all, like we said, hardly any buzz for this movie, but it looks fucking epic, dude. It looks crazy.
Good.
You see Apocalypse's voice change and get really doubled up. You see Mystique taking control. You see the Four Horsemen. But what you see at the end is what I want to give away. The very end of the trailer, Mystique's like, wow, you guys are busy. And they're like, ah, we had some help. And then all you see is a hand and you hear the sound. Sneak it, and you see the claws, and it cuts right there. So, Wolverine's gonna be in this movie, I guess. Whether we don't know what role, but they gave away Wolverine, isn't it? He's kind of like, you know, Fox's Batman. They gotta shove Wolverine, and people will go see the movie. I don't even know if the. I wish they didn't do that. I wish they didn't even tell us that we just got surprised.
Yeah,
but,
I had no idea. I had no idea he was gonna be in the movie.
But
I could have figured, but yeah, I didn't see that.
And it may be a reaction to like how we're saying that nobody's really talking about this movie, and now with this reveal, it might start to generate.
Case in point, like this movie has Fassbender and the other guy, but none of these guys, I don't even know their names. Like, I mean, I know Fassbender and what's her name, the Mystique girl,
J Law, Jennifer Lawrence.
But there's no real high profile, like old school big actor in there.
No, you really are going to see these
Jackman's
characters
established.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And they got, I saw another set pic where they're kind of wearing like old school 80s outfits. Like Nightcrawler has like the red V leotard-y thing. Like it looks cool. I mean,
I got a nitpick already.
Yeah.
Well, if this movie is set in the 80s, that means First Class, which was set in the 60s.
Yeah.
It was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know about y'all, but I don't think Jennifer Lawrence has aged 20 years.
Well, yeah,
she's Mystique. She can look like whatever age she wants to be.
All right, let's go with Beast. Let's go with McAvoy. Let's go with Fassbender. Do they all look 20 years older than they looked at First Class?
Oh, that's a good point.
I know that they want to align this up so that Jean Grey and Cyclops, because they want to align it up with the 2000 films, and for that to kind of make sense, that Cyclops and Jean Grey would have to be like in their 20s, maybe in the 80s.
Yeah.
For that to even make sense timeline wise, but it really doesn't make sense with the people in the 60s.
Maybe I didn't even think about that.
Good grab there, Anthony.
And Quicksilver. Maybe there's like a time, maybe they jumped through a time machine thing. They just had
It's just they had shitty, they're trying to make this all connect, and it's really rough with the timelines in X-Men.
Yeah.
But overall, the trailer looked pretty good. I know there's a lot of complaints online about Mystique being like the leader of the X-Men because that never really happened in the comics, and Magneto being part of Four Horsemen, which isn't really a thing either.
And you know what? I'm okay with that because in this universe, let's see what the story is. It kind of, here we go, right here at the end, Ruggs. Watch. It's kind of cool. It's just a second. Chunk. There it is. It kind of makes sense in this universe. Let's see what they're giving us. I would totally buy that this Mystique is going to lead the people.
Didn't they say that is this a whole new timeline or something that they reset from the other movie?
Yeah, it's a new timeline. This going forward, those movies were basically erased, the ones in the 2000s. So I guess it is kind of a new timeline, but it doesn't explain the past.
But the X-Men time continuity in the comics is just as fucking convoluted. Really, try to make heads or tails out of that. You will give yourself a brain fart.
Yeah.
So I like what they're doing with it. Moving on, we got a little news about a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Now, similar to like how Sam Raimi has his Bruce Campbell and he gives him little cameos, you know, like he was in all the Spider-Man movies. James Gunn and a certain Nathan Fillion have a kind of a similar relationship. He had a cameo in the first movie, but he was like a big blue dude and you couldn't really recognize him.
Right.
In this movie, he's got a really fun cameo, and he's actually a character in the Marvel Universe. And this all this came out as they saw their set pictures. I guess they're shooting a scene on Earth, like present-day Earth. And the scene is from a film festival. It's a Simon Williams film festival. Now, if you're really hardcore Avenger nerd, Simon Williams plays one Wonder Man. And it's not. Yay! It's not.
He is Wonder Man. He doesn't play him.
I mean, he's an actor in the comics,
yeah.
But he is Wonder Man, not Wonder Woman's husband. But just a Wonder Man. But so there's this film festival has posters, and this one is a great Easter egg. It's a poster of a Tony Stark biopic starring Simon Williams as Tony Stark within the universe. Like, that's kind of fun. Ruggs, what do you know about Wonder Man? For the listener, we got an image up. Describe his costume real quick, because I didn't really get the Wonder Man.
His costume changes a lot. But, like, that's the one that I know of from when I used to read West Coast Avengers.
Yes.
He was on the Avengers, the West Coast Avengers, and that's the one that was based out in L.A., in California. And there was a New York Avengers and there's a West Coast Avengers, and Iron Man was in charge of it. And Wonder Man was one of the heavy hitters on the team. And he's basically made out of energy.
Oh. You know?
Isn't he a little crazy?
Yeah, I mean, he's gone nutso a few times.
Okay.
But he, at one point, even became pure energy.
He's just really strong and fast.
And it was costumeless. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got red boots, as, you know, your typical spandex, big red W on his chest, and red eyes. He's got
the same shirt that Anthony's got on right now.
A little bit. He's got, like, a tank top with a W on it. this is just going to be like a quick cameo. Like, I don't know if this is like a flashback or what part of the movie, but they're having fun with it. I love when a director has a guy that he just likes to throw into fun parts, because Fillion's castle is getting canceled, so he needs work.
He needs a job. He's going to strap on the tights again.
At Cosmo Fox goes, I know nothing about Wonder Man. Just assume that he can summon bread.
He has the power of white bread. And it's made out of lots of chemicals. That's definitely not non-GMO, I'll tell you.
If I could summon bread, it wouldn't be Wonder Bread.
That's the worst. That's not bread, dude.
It would be some nice semolina, maybe a Portuguese roll.
Fucking Wonder Bread, you melt it down, it turns into Tupperware. I mean, that's not food. Huh? You shouldn't be eating that shit. Anyways, another way to say whitewashing? Good one, Jordan.
Talking nerd.
I like that one. Whitewashed bread. You notice the theme? Also, my skin is whitewashed because I used to be brown. It's a whole theme going on.
That's a whole different thing.
That's a whole different podcast and medical condition altogether. Now, we are 1 week away.
Geek boner.
From, oh my God.
Geek boner.
Captain America Civil War. So I got. Well,
for our UK friends.
Dude.
People all over the world, they're getting this movie right now.
They've seen it. So jealous of you fuckers. Hey, Kevin Halden, Chris Richardson, 365 Flicks Podcast, I need you to send me a spoiler-free tweet of your reaction to the movie when you see it.
They probably hated it.
Please. No, Chris will love it. Kevin will find some way to fucking hate on it. That's all right. We hated on the whole MCU.
I gotta take that back. Chris is pretty reasonable. Kevin's kind of unreasonable.
No, Chris loves Spider-Man. He's going to love this movie. Kevin's the fucking one.
Love you guys.
Kevin's the one we're going to have to battle BVS with eventually.
That's right.
I wonder what Ruglad is going to say.
Wait, Ruglad? Who's Ruglad? Yeah, the British rug boy. That's right. Yeah. You guys got
talking nerd.
What's Ruglad going to say?
You got to get. So I got one more week of trying not to watch the fucking 200 TV spots or getting any spoilers, because now more and more people are seeing this movie. It's already made $14.9 million today overseas. So
Jesus.
The money has already started to roll in. It's not out here for a week. But, Ruggs, did you see I caved because they gave us a little bit more Spider-Man.
Geek boner.
I didn't watch it.
Look, so all in all, we have like 9 seconds of Spider-Man, right? And in these 9 seconds, you get so much character from fucking this character. It's unbelievable. It's got me so excited.
I don't know.
You get so much character from this fucking character.
I'm
stretching it a little bit, Imran.
I'm so excited that I can't even get the words. Yeah. So basically,
Spider-Man is his hall pass, basically, though.
It's my fanboy pass.
Whatever he says with a grain of salt.
Fanboy. Listen, we get to see him swing in. He kicks the Falcon. He catches Winter Soldier's arm. And he goes, you have a metal arm? That's awesome, dude. Like, effortlessly. Like, he's not even struggling, and he's quipping, and it's fucking perfect.
It was entertaining. I'll give you
it's
that.
It's perfect. But,
it was good. There was another one with Cap that I won't spoil, but this one was good.
Stop spoiling everything.
Look, this is all to say that, from what I understand, all these spots the marketing is amazing. They have done an amazing job to give you character without revealing any of
Have you
the
seen
story.
Your boy Kevin Smith's tweet?
No. What did he say?
Something along the lines of, I saw Civil War tonight, hands down, best superhero film ever, and a great Spidey film.
Geek Booner.
God damn it. Why can't it be next week already? I am not going to be able to get through this next fucking week. By the way, next week, listener hairs, I planned out your week. This is what you do. You celebrate May the 4th be with you with some Star Wars shit. Then Cinco de Mayo, you fucking get drunk. Have a good time.
Then get some authentic tacos from Taco Bell.
Get some tacos. Then May 6th, you go see, you stay hungover or you sober up and you go see Civil War. And then May 7th is Free Comic Book Day.
Geek Booner.
And if you're in the Chicagoland area, you can come hang out with us at Pastimes. There'll be a link with the details in the show notes. What a great weekend in the first weekend of May.
Yeah.
There's so many things that I want to do now.
Am I the only one excited by this? when you guys do see the movie.
I'm really excited about getting tacos right now.
Cinco de Mayo. It's Nerd Week next week. When you guys do see Civil War.
You said that seductively. That was kind of weird.
Cinco de Mayo. Hello. Orale tacos. Can you check the stats from Mexico? Sit, don't leave, because there are confirmed 2 post-credit scenes. And they've been revealed, and I'm trying not to watch it. This is going to be really hard.
I spoiled it for myself.
Oh, you goddamn bastard. Don't tell me. It's going to be so hard. Jordan says, you better Wonder Bread that. Yeah, let's just wipe that with Wonder Bread. this next bit of news relates to something we talked about in our last episode, Hater's Guide to the MCU. We discussed, you know, Robert Downey
35 downloads from us.
Okay, we're fine. We're good. What's up, Mexico City? We were talking about how, look, Downey Jr., the guy who started this franchise, you know, with the Iron Man, he's getting old. What are they going to do? You know, we know he's going to be in a couple more movies. Well, he did this interview with Nightline, and there's 2 really important geek nuggets in this interview that I'm going to point out. One, and this is something else we talked about in the episode, Scarlett Johansson makes a quick mention that neither Black Widow or Hawkeye have a solo adventure in the works.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not happening.
Okay.
We're talking about having her in the lead movie. But the second one, the biggest news, is Downey Jr. told Nightline he feels he could do one more Iron Man.
Oh, shit.
One more only?
One more after, I'm thinking after the Infinity Wars in Phase 4. You want to make an Iron Man 4? Downey is down. He's down.
Maybe because everybody kind of shit on Iron Man 3, he wants to redeem himself and go out on a high note.
Maybe it's the fucking boatloads of money they hand him every time he puts on this character.
Oh, yeah, but he's got money already.
What do you think, Anthony?
He could shit money right now.
I think he's just having a lot of fun. I think
that also,
The money is great. It's the only franchise that he can really guarantee himself a huge paycheck with, because Sherlock Holmes is kind of fluttered out a little bit. And if you think about it, from what I've read, he doesn't have to really do that much anymore in the role. He gets green screened the suit, so he doesn't have to actually wear that cumbersome suit. It's all CGI'd, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then most of his acting is just his face.
Yeah, mostly they just film his face. He could do that.
He doesn't have to do a lot of physical stuff.
He could do that from home and just fucking Dropbox the fucking movie file to them and cash your check there, Downey.
I think it's actually a pretty easy role in terms of physical exertion. Yeah.
And I mean, he's having fun because he's kind of just being himself and being charming. And who doesn't love this Tony Stark? So,
what could they do? What story could they do?
Whoa.
The Living Laser?
Well, rumor is he also not only like you said, I've read a rumor redeeming Iron Man 3 and redeeming the Mandarin and making him an actual good villain.
Yeah, making him an actual fruit.
Making him a little Clementine or a whole bag of little. Little nectarines, Mandarin, and his team of Citrus Avengers. Go, Citrus.
Lemon. Lime.
Limes. Grapefruit.
Hey, yes. by the way, did anybody see that lemonade thing by Beyonce?
Yeah. Huh? No.
Was this about that that old childhood rhyme, you know, milk, milk, lemonade, round
Turn
the corner.
Around the corner, the fudge is made.
There you go.
Oh, shit.
A little hole, and out comes a little Tootsie Roll.
It wasn't an hour of her just singing different versions of that. That's what I thought. Lemonade.
I would have preferred that, actually.
I have no idea what
lemonade is. You know, her grandmother
sidebar.
Said, Yes. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
Is that what her grandmother said?
That's what she says.
Original.
If you watch the video and you watch the credits, you will see that everything that was written by some poet, not her. Okay. And if you watch the litany of cast that's after this thing, you'll realize that she had nothing to do with any of this. Like, it's supposed to be like her talking about how Jay-Z cheats on her.
Yeah.
And then she like hates him and she like is all pissed at him. And all of a sudden she comes around and she learns that she has to forgive him. And it's all fake. Because if somebody cheated on Beyonce, why would she stay with Jay-Z? Like, she could go and be with anybody. Why would you want to stay with his stupid ass?
Jordan says they have a child. You don't think Jay-Z sat there watching it going,
yeah, like,
no,
everybody who
awkward.
Has just stays with the person.
Well, I do actually think he might have cheated on her. But
definitely,
I would say the reason why they're staying together is they kept their relationship so private, as if they had this like perfect thing. And I think that's important to Beyonce, is like, even if he did cheat on her, it'd be this acknowledgement publicly that
she's the only one that's blabbing about it all the time in her music.
That's true. But I just think, I don't think she wants, for her image, she doesn't want a divorce.
I think it's fake.
Look, I'm sorry I brought this up, and we're going to now talk about Scarlet Witch's boobs. During the premiere of Captain America Civil War, have you seen this photo? They were,
I want to see it.
Click
now.
That link also, because so they're all lined up, and Chris Evans, Mr. Captain America, who's awesome, clearly gets caught staring right at a braless Elizabeth Olsen standing next to him, which in itself is hilarious. Now the internet.
I didn't know she was working with that kind of rack. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's not wearing a bra under there, as you can clearly tell. But the internet, being the internet, has gone on a wild Photoshop frenzy, and some of these they did a good job photoshopping different things. You guys pick out a favorite. Are you looking at these things? I like the one where the alien is jumping out of her chest. That's hilarious.
I like that one where the boobs hang out.
That's all of them.
Oh.
There's,
that's what I like.
There's one that where they give her like a Stark, they give her a Stark arc reactor. Good,
that's awesome.
Good work, internet. There's one where John Travolta is just interfering and grabbing her boobs for some reason.
If they're out like that, some people are going to stare. Even the guy right next to you.
There's one where all of them have the same cleavage. There's one with Chris Hemsworth as face replacing
Jordan.
Elizabeth
Jordan throwing these all up. These are awesome.
Jordan, good work. This is hilarious. So good job, Photoshoppers. Like, I like the one where they all have boobs. Like, that just, you
that's
know, good. It makes it fair.
I like that one.
It makes it
weird, though.
Is she Carrie in this one? Is
well,
that
no,
pizza?
That one, he turned her into meat. Like, he's staring at a piece of meat.
Lady
Gaga. They're like, she's not a piece of meat. They're like, well, they actually turned her into a piece of meat. So,
nice.
Good stuff. Even Captain America can fall now and then, people. This is, he's nobody's perfect.
He's perfect, but he needs to see some boobies, too.
He hasn't gotten laid yet.
In like 80 years. He's been frozen for
forever.
Half his life. Cut the guy some slack.
Geek boner.
All right, last bit of news that just broke that I thought was really interesting, considering the comic book convention season has kind of started. We had C2E2 here, and you got the
Is
big,
this about Fox?
Yes. We got the big San Diego Comic-Con. Now, wasn't it last year that Marvel did not go to San Diego?
Marvel did not go. No.
Because they're like, we don't need this. We got Disney. We got a whole Disney goddamn convention. We can run our own shit over here.
If you look at what Feige said, he said they didn't have it ready.
They needed more time.
But you know, we'll take them at that.
I think something else may be going on because now Fox has said that after last year's leaks, like the Suicide Squad leak and the Deadpool kind of leak during the convention, Fox has decided not to showcase its upcoming movie releases in Hall H, the great grand San Diego Hall H at San Diego this year, as it feels as they can't prevent the privacy of custom trailers or exclusive footage. So that means no Assassin's Creed, no look at Wolverine 2, no clips from The Maze Runner, no announcement about Deadpool or Gambit. Now, what do you guys
Alien.
Think?
Oh,
and Alien too. So, people have said that maybe, you know, they always accuse the studios of leaking this shit on purpose. And X-Men producer Hutch Parker says, that's just stupid. Why would we do that? The two sides being, now it sucks for the people going there.
Yeah.
It's less of a draw, but now they can control. They can't, you know, they can't confiscate 6,000 goddamn cell phones during the thing. What what is the other option? They gotta. Is this gonna hurt the con? Can this be a return to actually just comic book convention? And all the studios are like, yeah, fuck this, we're not going.
It will hurt the con in terms of mainstream appeal and in terms of as the only one that's been to San Diego Comic Con. That was a huge appeal for me, is seeing Spider-Man footage of Amazing Spider-Man a year before it came out. I saw it with him with the wires. Like, it was not finished at all. But I mean, even since 2011 when I went, I mean, smartphone technology is so much quicker, so much better. I mean, people are literally, you can record stuff very discreetly.
And good quality.
Well, I think although the footage being leaked is a factor, I think the bigger factor is money.
Of course.
And that is because studios go through all this effort to cut trailers and to put together footage and to fly in all their actors for an exclusive showing in front of 6,000 people, mm-hmm. that at the end of the day really doesn't make them build any more buzz for their movie than they had before. And they're not making any money off of this because they're not charged. San Diego Comic-Con makes all the money off of this. So, for instance, Scott Pilgrim Rules the World, or whatever the fuck that movie is called.
Yeah.
Ton of hype off of Comic-Con. Made shit at the box office.
Did not translate.
That was the downfall. That was the start of the downfall of studios investing in Comic Cons and saying, "Oh, this is going to build hype." It doesn't build hype because it just doesn't translate to the box office. So, like Marvel, and you'll see like Star Wars, they're going to start creating their own cons so that they can make money by charging people to come to their cons and then control the message and have their own little things without giving any of that money to San Diego.
It's not worth the nut anymore. Ruggs, what do you think?
It's a bunch of poppycock.
Lame.
I don't know. I mean, like, to some people, like, yeah, having celebrities at a convention and seeing some shit that nobody else has seen, being the first one in, you know, that's appealing.
But
who really love comics, that's annoying.
Yeah,
it is. It is annoying. And to be fair, too, or not fair, but it is kind of difficult to get into Hall H. You have to, like, I think the convention starts at like 1 or 11, somewhere around there. But people are in line to go into Hall H at like the next like 12 midnight, or like, it's ridiculous, the line. Like, you literally will, if you get into Hall H, like, as I did on the Friday, I didn't get to experience any of the rest of the con because once you leave, you're done. So I had to sit there throughout the whole day. What? Not eating.
You can't. I was just going to bring that up because that time should be spent meeting independent artists, walking down Artist Alley, supporting the small guy, maybe picking up some books from the big publishers. And now you've just fucking wasted all that money to sit in line for 3 hours for three minutes of footage, and it doesn't make any sense. And you can't, you know, if they release the shit online afterwards, that makes it less special. They need a new strategy. I like what Star Wars did last year. I thought that really worked. Their whole marketing, they didn't give anything away. What they did was they had this whole concert, and they took people out, and it was an event. It was an experience. They marched people to an outdoor venue, and they put on a Star Wars music on a symphony. Like, that is a special experience for a fan. That's something that's worth the price of admission.
There's no reason that San Diego should be that big, the San Diego Con.
I agree.
No reason for such a huge show. It's like, it's completely, like, I go to the New York one because I've never been to San Diego, but that's the biggest con that I've ever been to, the one at the Javits Center.
That's a long con. You're playing the long con.
I mean, you can't even fucking walk and enjoy the show. You can't shop. You can't look at stuff because there's so many stupid mouth breathers in there and cosplayers that don't give a shit about anything. They just want their picture taken and have attention because they're wearing some kind of stupid outfit. And then they get mad when you do give them attention. You're objectifying me. I'm like, why are you walking around with your tits hanging out? And then come on.
You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Look, movie studios, fucking go make your own conventions. I'm completely on board with that. Leave the Comic-Con. Let's bring it back down to what it was, to just about even – let's get Marvel Comics there, DC Comics, and other publishers, independent writers, creators. You guys go make your own con. People will still come. We're willing to spend lots of money on whatever you put out there. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Is D23 like open to the public though?
I don't know about D20. It's biannual, so it's not every year.
Oh, it's not even every year.
But that's something that will probably. I read that Farachi was speculating they might do that yearly now that they have Star Wars and Marvel and Pixar and all the other stuff. But even DC, like Marvel, they did their Marvel events this year, and that did very well. So it just doesn't, financially, it doesn't make sense. Nope, I mean, these studios have enough properties that they can host their own cons.
Especially
and make money.
Disney has enough shit.
Fox, too. I mean, if you read that slate of movies, those are all movies that if they were to go to a con,
people would go.
And those are all nerdy kind of titles that people would want to see. So if Fox did their own con, you know, just doing all their movies and celebrities, people would pay for that.
Dude, I'd totally go to like an X-Men Cinematic Universe con. That'd be kind of fucking cool. Once they start bringing in like Deadpool.
Throw that in with like the Alien franchises.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting they got Aliens too. Yeah, they got a lot of
Harry Potter stuff. Properties. They got a lot of shit.
Wow. All right, let's see. Maybe we can, comic book geeks can take back the con, everybody. All right, gang, that's it for the news. Let's get to this week's TV shows.
Doc and Nerd.
Prepare to be spoiled.
You better prepare, because we're about to spoil this week's latest episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We're in Season 3, Episode 18, titled The Singularity. And man, a lot of big shit kind of happened big and quietly at the same time. Overall, this was I like the direction the show is going, because I did not know what was going to happen after last week where Daisy just rocks the place and she's part of Hive and leaves. I was like, whoa, I don't know where this is going to go. And I love that. Did you guys notice the opening shot? It was a beautiful single camera choreographed shot going above doors and coming through doors and following Mac and May, and then into the hangar. And then you saw the big plane. Like, that was the set looked great. And I appreciated, I love the single camera shots.
Well, Anthony always says they're in the hallways talking. So
they were. So they made it a little bit more interesting with like a one take hallway scene. Pretty much is what it was.
I have to agree with you. I liked this episode. I'll give it due when it's due. And the Daisy twist is kind of thrown everything through a loop. And it was good. It was entertaining for sure.
Very entertaining. I love
and you question if there's any Daisy left in her.
So this is, I don't understand. Let's talk about this a little bit, because they said that Fitz and Simmons, I think they kind of figured out that Daisy's like addicted to him, like chemically, but he has Ward's memories, and she's kind of treating him like he's Ward, and like then she rests her head on his shoulder. It's very creepy the way she's attracted to him. How much of herself is in control, and how much of it is Hive is what I can't pin down.
They hinted when she destroyed the base that like if she really wanted to,
right,
she could have destroyed
it. So she was holding back.
She held back, and she held back too on Fitz in that one scene.
Oh shit, that was great, dude. Ruggs, did you enjoy her force choking fucking Fitz? She had some great dialogue to him while she was holding him up against the wall with her powers.
I don't remember it at all.
Remember?
She Darth Vader'd him.
She Darth Vader'd him, and she's like...
I remember that Daisy was under the thrall of Hive. I remember that. And then I remember that there was a whole thing about Fitz and Simmons, you know, seizing the moment, you know, and going undercover or whatever they were doing in that restaurant. And that's all I remember.
I'll fill in the blanks. Okay. They were... basically talking about seizing the moment and having sex. They went undercover to get a guy that knows about parasites.
Dr.
So
Radcliffe. Yeah, it was like
and then the other storyline was the Daisy and Grant visited the Australian dude that we met a few episodes ago.
And then they used a Terrigen on him.
They transformed him. Well, he was kind of funny because he threw out a bunch of names. He's like, Inferno? He's like, Firestarter? That's a little bit 90s. Burning Man? He's like, I can't use Burning Man. And then he says Hellfire. Maybe he's
Did you
Hellfire.
Catch the Burning Man reference?
Yeah. He goes,
Festival in the desert.
He's like, okay, he's Burning Man. But he's got kind of Gambit powers. He touches things, they charge up, and then they fucking blow up at you.
Well, they stole an item from him, which is the only item apparently that can hurt Mr. Hive.
Right. So they dug it out, and he's taking it. I loved the scene where Coulson and May get there. And it's rigged. And oh shit, dude, Coulson's cybernetic arm has a shield.
Geek moment. Oh yeah, he had like a little shield when the thing collapsed on him.
And this has got to be because he loves Captain America. Captain America's had an energy shield like this in the comic books. And he's like, I figured the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. should have a shield. I was like, oh, snap, that's pretty cool. I was – his arm is awesome. So we also get a whole bunch of – there's like a cyborg Deathlock Eyes Wide Shut party going on where that's yeah, where Fitz and Simmons
– not human or all
they're,
the
they're
way
transhumanists.
Yeah.
Which is kind of – that was kind of neat. And they – yeah, the whole time Fitz and Simmons are like analyzing whether they should have sex. And at first I was like, is this a good idea? Because look, if your buddy, you've been working and your buddy's with someone for 10 years, it could possibly ruin your relationship if things
it's
don't
usually go. Never a good idea, no. But as a man, you got to do it.
So I thought that whole scene was kind of strange, though, because she does the thing where she has cold hands, which I thought was odd. And then all of a sudden he's like very aggressive. It wasn't very Fitz-like. Maybe he was just in the heat of the moment. I mean, they're on a fucking mission, and he decides to do this now?
When else are they going to do it?
Yeah.
I love how Matt calls him out. He goes, look, I've been working with Bobby and Hunter. I know that turning the comms off trick. I know what you're doing. How's it going?
Right. I had to I'm glad May called Coulson out on it, because at the time I was like, holy shit, Coulson's a real ass. He was willing to kill Lincoln by strapping him with that bomb, but not kill Daisy.
I wish he did fucking blow Lincoln up. I was so happy. I was like, yes, put a fucking murder vest on Lincoln and then just accidentally press the button and be like, whoops, sorry, I didn't mean to fucking kill Lincoln. I don't like him.
I'm glad May like pointed that out, because that was a plot point that I felt like S.H.I.E.L.D. would have skipped.
Yeah. Yeah. He was being really
douchey.
Really douchey and really just hardcore and murderous. He's like, fuck it, I don't care, I'm not having. But
and he's like such an ass that he's like, kill him if he turns.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna be the one to push the button, you're gonna do it.
Yeah, that
like,
was
wow, what an ass.
That was a dick move. She's like, I'm not gonna do your dirty work for you. And
well, she's like, I'll do it, but you have blood on your hands too.
Yeah. And then he shoots somebody later.
He shoots the multiple girl that they're fighting. That was
her.
That was kind of a great scene. Where they track her down. There's two of them. But Hive's got a pretty nice team now. He's got Daisy. He's got that multiple girl. He's got the Hellfire Gambit wannabe.
Yeah.
Is there another one?
No, that's it for now.
All right. Well, his plan is he wants to take back the planet. He wants the Inhumans to take back all the planet and make a home for themselves. I love Daisy, though, was crazy, though, because you're right. She's holding back. She's like, I have a family now. I'm happy. Don't come after me. I will snap your neck if I have to Fitz.
Yeah, that's the most intriguing part to me is will they be able to redeem Sky, or does she bite the bullet at the end of the season?
This is crazy. This
she's
is,
not going anywhere.
But she tells Fitz that what she saw, she goes, somebody from S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to die. I saw it. But she can't be going anywhere. But I love what they're doing, because I don't know where it's going to go. And I love Gemma stabbing that dude in the eye. I couldn't watch that. I don't like things with the eye.
Oh, the eye was
right?
Real rough. Yeah.
But she went for it, though. You got to give her credit.
She knew that it was fake, but I was like, yeah, well, what are you doing? Don't stab fuckers in the eye. I don't.
And then they let the needle linger in the eye.
It's like, just sticking out of the eyeball.
That was
they like
awful.
To go there every once in a while.
Yeah, they S.H.I.E.L.D. is weird. They'll push it sometimes on what is PG, whatever the hell they're trying to be.
So Fitz and Simmons do it, right? It's pretty much implied that the deal has been done finally.
They sealed the deal for sure.
And then in all of this, very quietly, the ATCU takes down fucking Hydra.
Oh, shit.
And they even go, it's done just like that? Yeah. Hydra's done just like that? That's exactly what I said to myself.
Second.
I was like, just like that? And she says just like that? I was like, the fuck is going on here? That was very weird.
It was strange.
I don't buy it.
I hope it's not the way that it went down, because if it was, that's the most S.H.I.E.L.D. thing ever. The way that people write this S.H.I.E.L.D. is, oh, we've been battling Hydra for 3 seasons.
Yeah,
now.
That's typical.
And Hydra will go away off camera.
Yeah, that's not real.
Well, look, you have to consider what's coming up. We have one more episode, then we have Civil War, then we have an episode right after that. Now, you know they're going to want to shoehorn some shit in there. I don't know how they're going to – it's going to tie in on the S.H.I.E.L.D. side. I'm not really sure how. So at the end, Hive buys a whole town to raise like Inhuman families in. And then in the previews, there's 2 episodes left, and there's a fucking Kree alien, a blue dude there, like fighting and shit. So
the Kree is coming, and I'm surprised they're able to use the Kree.
Right?
Yeah.
How do you think this is going to tie into Civil War?
Not at all. 0%.
No, but they're going to do something. They're clearly.
I'm going 0%.
This is what we talked about in our Haters Guide to the MCU. That they have trouble. I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to – what's going to happen is S.H.I.E.L.D. – like when we
– Zero.
Look, maybe it's like Avengers Ultron, which is horrible because the beginning of that movie starts with something they mentioned at the end of the last episode, which is why they were in that forest.
S.H.I.E.L.D. will wave it at Civil War and be like, hey, we're here, and Civil War will not acknowledge S.H.I.E.L.D. whatsoever.
I bet we'll see.
I'm telling you.
Dude. It'll give you – it may maybe it'll do this. You know that?
What? Are you jerking? Are you jerking yourself off?
No, I'm doing the head nod.
Oh, they're gonna do the little head nod. Okay,
oh, there you go.
It's a filthy head nod. I thought you were doing something else. It looked kind of weird.
It looks like the same thing. If I'm nodding my head, it looks the same. Like I'm doing something else.
I believe that is how a filthy jerks off. But I think what also when it comes back after Civil War, like you're gonna see something on the TV screen in the background saying superhero registration. Blah, blah, blah. Ugh. Ant-Man was a fun movie, I am Larry. Listen to our last episode to see why you can't hate on the MCU. It's possible. This build up to these last two episodes for season three have been really good. Let's move on to the next one, everyone.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Imran.
Hey, Rug Boy.
Wouldn't it be great, since we're putting out all this content, that our listeners could support us? Maybe we had some kind of, like, website or a way for them to do that?
Rugs, that's a great idea. Give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
Jock and Nerd.
Okay, it's all set up, listener. Just visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon.
Wowie zowie!
Patreon is our virtual tip jar where you can donate any amount of money either per month or a nice large sum all at once. And on that Patreon, you get bonus content, as Imran mentioned. But if we hit certain plateaus every month, we improve our production quality. We get better equipment. We get on more platforms. It only helps us. So please get on to patreon.com/jockandnerd or jockandnerd.com/Patreon and support the show.
Jocktastic! I hear change jingling in your pocket. Don't fucking fuck me over, guys. Do it!
Hi. This is Mark. Congratulations. You have found this amazingly awesome show. Chances are you're listening to it right now on whether it's iTunes or Stitcher Radio or some other mobile app that allows you to stream this amazingly awesome show to your ear holes. And I can't stress how awesomely amazing this show really is. But did you know that you can also catch the latest episode of this show on the Tangentbound Network? That's right. Go check out tangentboundnetwork.com. You can look them up, and you can listen to it right there. It's even mobile-friendly. What more could you ask for? Which means you can pull it up on your iPhone or your Android, even your Windows phone. Yeah, who has one of those? But still, point remains. You can do it. You can do it. Check it out. tangentboundnetwork.com. Listen to this show, the latest episode, every time.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast is proud to be a part of Geek Life Radio. Check us out on the stream Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Central.
Jock and Nerd!
Geek-erific! Spoiler alert.
Hi-o, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be talking about this week's latest episode of The Flash on CW. Season 2, episode 19, Back to Normal. Barry's a normie now. He has no speed. I kind of enjoyed that opening montage where they showed how his morning was with speed, and then they showed it without speed. He's like, God, I got to be like fucking all these other assholes and ride the bus now. I felt bad for him. It's not easy being normal.
That was entertaining to see.
Not easy to be normal. So we had some Zoom. We had a death. We had Barry being an actual fucking CSI and doing his job like a normal person.
Yeah.
And then we had kind of what'd you think of this villain? Griffin Gray. I felt like it was another weird villain of the week.
The aging Hulkman, Benjamin Button.
Yeah, he is reverse Benjamin Button's Hulk. This dude, I guess, got hit with the particle accelerator. He's only 15, yet when we see him, he looks like he's in his mid to late 30s. And every time he uses his powers, he gets a little bit older.
I mean, it was like a callback to the first season of Villain of the Week sort of thing. But you get a little character development out of Harrison Wells and a little bit out of Flash. So it ended up serving its purpose.
We get to see Jesse Quick back into the fold. Yeah.
Jesse Quick is very smart. And sometimes I feel like she makes the rest of the team look completely stupid, where she just figures out everything really quick. Why don't you just hire her? Now put her in the chair. The reason Zoom kidnapped Caitlin, we find out, which is he's a little bit gone off the deep end. He says he took her because he loves her, but
You
know what? We talked about this before, Ruggs, last week. How the Zoom reveal has kind of made him seem less scary, and really, it hits me between the voice change. Because when he has the mask on, he's that scary dude. He's Candyman. He's the guy who played Candyman's voice, and it's fucking frightening as hell. And then he takes it off, and he's dopey white guy voice.
Yeah, he's Balky Flash.
What the shit is that? It totally kind of ruins it. He's just so dopey when he's got the mask off.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Besides the point, he could still be menacing without the mask on if he's a good actor and he can pull it off. But yeah. They're doing this, weird misery thing, obsessed with Caitlin Snow or whatever.
They're pointing to her, kind of reminding him of the way his mom was, and he's now his dad. That's how you treat a woman, sort of thing.
Very old school. Weird. Oh yeah, because he's losing it. He every time she says a word, she flashes back to his dad shooting his fucking mom over and over again. But while there, he kind of lets her roam free. And she sees the dude in the iron mask again. I don't know who he is yet. And she sees Killer Frost, which, Daniel Pennebaker was totally channeling fucking Wentworth Miller Killer Frost. He's oh, Caitlin. Yeah. Well, why don't you help me get out of here?
I don't know. Her acting is terrible.
I could see she was having fun with that. I love the Killer Frost. And I'm really, I'm kind of shocked that they killed her. I didn't see that coming, but it makes sense because she's well, he has me because he loves you, but now that he has you, he's not going to need me anymore. And sure enough.
Then he instantly kills her.
But that was a great scene because she was shooting an ice dagger at Caitlin, and he fucking vibrates through Caitlin from behind her. He's been in her. He's been in her, people. It was hot. He vibrates right through her. She probably got a little excited during that time. And grabs the dagger, turns around, and stabs Caitlin dead.
I have to point out, I think there was a line in there where Killer Frost is someone should get you new clothes or teach you how to dress. What you keep hiding those puppies.
Yeah, she's like, have you seen this body? Yeah,
she's talking about her own rack.
Yeah. Well, and
I love how she's also everyone from your Earth so gullible. She's like, you people are idiots for believing any of this. Oh, Cisco modifies Barry's suit to take a punch from Gray so they can kind of just age him out. And he takes two punches, and then the guy gets old and dies. What happens at the end? Oh, that's right.
At the end, they decide that they have to recreate the
experiment.
Speed Force.
Yeah. Which, I guess that makes sense. He's the only way to help you, Barry,
let's
blow the fucking thing up again. Which may be how Wally West and Jesse Quick get their powers.
Whoa.
But I saw this other article where the producers have said, right now the show is called The Flash. Barry Allen is the only Flash. Obviously, there's expectations for those characters, and whether or not they're realized is part of the fun and the joy of watching the show. It will never be Spider-Man and his amazing friends. It will always be The Flash. So they're kind of hinting that we might not see the speedsters on this show.
Did you see Berlanti had to put out a tweet about Jay Garrick?
Oh, yeah. What was that tweet?
It was basically along the lines of, I hear you guys. We would never make Jay Garrick a villain. You'll see in the future. Because there's a lot of hate on turning Jay Garrick into this asshole.
That's right. He's keep watching. So I think the Jay Garrick's got to be the dude in the mask. It's got to be. Who else could that be?
I would assume that might be the case.
But does he look like the same guy?
Well, that's to be determined. This whole, I don't
know. I bet it's a different guy because, yeah, I would say it's a different guy and they just took his name.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're the hero.
But we'll there's a reason they're hiding his face for the characters and for our benefit that it's got to be someone, maybe it's just someone we don't know at all. And when that mask comes off, we're going to be like, wait, who the fuck is that guy? Nobody recognizes him.
It's Eddie Thawne.
You know what? It could be a Thawne.
Could be alternate Thawne, yeah.
Here's the other question. In the last episode, didn't Cisco open one breach so Zoom could get through? They closed all the breaches. How the fuck was he getting back and forth then?
Who?
Zoom.
He's got super speed force. He can do whatever he wants.
But
now.
Then so why did Cisco need to open the fucking portal then?
No. That portal's his way to get through. And right now, that portal is still. They never closed it.
No, what? No, they did. Cisco shot the thing, and then he came out, and then it went away. I thought maybe it's still there. I don't understand how he's. Open.
I don't know. You're thinking about it too much,
dude. There's no.
It's the Flash.
He should not be. All the breaches are closed. He should not be able to fucking jump back and forth like he's doing. But whatever. It's Zoom.
Zoom was like at the end. I used to count my successes on how many people I killed, but now it's going to be how many universes I conquer or something like that.
He's stepping up his game. He wants to take over all the multiverses, but he's still dying. His lightning is still blue. Nobody cares.
Oh, holy crap. I don't know if he's still dying. Man, you're really like nitpicky. Holy shit.
No, I think he's right, though.
God damn it. Explain this shit. No, because they just all of a sudden wrote him as a crazy, love-obsessed, like, maniac. That doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah.
There's something else going on. Maybe we'll find out. All right, gang. Whatever. That's a good one. It's a good flash. Let's get to the next one.
The Jock and Nerd Podcast.
Let's spoil some shit, Batman.
Ow! We're moving on to another CW show. This week's episode of Arrow, however you want to pronounce that. Season 2, episode 19, titled Canary Cry. And already with the title, I was like, what? Canary Cry? Wait a minute. So, very emotional episode. What do you guys think with this one?
Right. Yeah, I felt it was like a little bit of a fake out.
I kept thinking they were. I was like, are they faking this? Something seems off. Are they faking this? But. I don't know anymore. Laura Lance is, she's still dead, or she's
I'm
not.
I'm glad she's dead. If she's dead, it's great. But there's something that doesn't, I don't know if they're doing it on purpose to make you think that she's coming back.
Right?
But whatever. I hope she doesn't. I hope she stays dead. But it doesn't really, like, there was never a moment where I, like, really, the only person that I believed was the father, was Lance.
If she is dead, I'll say this. If she is dead, then this episode, in my opinion, was actually pretty good because I felt like there was a lot of emotion, and I felt like Ollie, for the first time, didn't blame himself, and everyone else was – he was like the level-headed one where everyone else was blaming themselves.
His growth was
the flashbacks great. Were good. I liked the emotional stuff.
The flashbacks that finally were interesting in the sense that –
yeah, because they weren't on that fucking island.
They weren't on the island. These flashbacks occur between season one and season two leading up to the beginning of season two. So, A, it was a chance for – Laurel to have another episode with her, you know, get some closure, still see her. But then you saw how he ended up on Lian Yu at the beginning of that season.
That was his way he could cope.
Yeah.
He had to get away. And they had a little brief romance again.
Lance was amazing. He was so, like you said, Ruggs, I loved how he acted this devastation. Like, you literally saw him go through, like, all the stages of death during the episode. And you felt it. You felt for him.
Yeah, I mean, he was like determined to go and get her off to the Lazarus Pit to try and bring her back.
Yeah, well, yeah. First, he
logically,
was like,
it makes sense because he's seen his daughter, one of his daughters, come back.
Like, all right, let's go. I gotta go to the Lazarus Pit again.
I mean, it was almost like he was the only character going. Am I not on Arrow, you fuckers? All my daughters come back twice. Everyone, nobody dies. There's got to be a way.
Yeah, he made a shout out to all the people that never died. He's like, died and came back.
And I'm like, how is this not plausible? Actually, if you think about it, he's the only one who's like, yeah, of course he can bring her back. And you know, he finds out the Lazarus Pit is destroyed, and by the end, it's great to see him accept Laurel's death finally and get some closure. I love the fake out in the beginning. I thought that was well played. You thought it was her funeral, and then you see Laurel stand up, and it's Tommy Merlin's funeral.
Yeah.
From 2013. Like so amongst
I also like the fake out, us thinking this Black Canary, the Black Canary imposter. And then not just being an imposter, but it being something where they have to redeem Laurel Lance and make sure that the Black Canary's name isn't sullied by all of this.
I thought it was a little bit forced and awkwardly written with this fucking girl out of nowhere.
Oh, they didn't explain how she got there.
No, they didn't explain.
But I enjoyed that, like, at the end of this, the character died and it was acknowledged as a hero and died as a hero. They didn't let the character die and no one ever knows that she's Black Canary. The public now knows.
It was all about the legacy, but the way tried to ruin her legacy was so heavy-handed. What'd you think of Diggle's fucking freak out?
I wanted her to kill that girl.
Diggle almost
when he slapped the shit out of her with a gun, I was like,
he almost killed the mayor, Dark's wife.
He should have done it.
He was ready to pop her, and Ollie, of course, stops him at the last minute, and then this is where the smear campaign starts. In fact, it's Diggle's fault that she's starting the smear campaign. The mayor knew Laurel was the Black Canary, and she's trying to drag her name through the dirt, and turns out this girl, Evelyn, what was her name? Evelyn Sharp, was in Reddington, and the only part I had liked was where she was like, you left us to die, you failed this city, and I guess Reddington was I forget what that was. Was that where he rescued
them?
Where
he rescued them in a prior episode. I don't really remember.
But her parents died. They were high.
It was that base that Dark had that had that gas chamber in it.
Right. They were kind of like mind controlled by his spores or whatever. But her parents die and she wants vengeance. But how does this little girl gets a gun and how does she – like they kept saying the canary cry was tuned to Laurel's vocal cords. How is she changing this?
They never addressed any of that.
They never went after that.
That was kind of lazy because if you're going to bring that up, then you have to address it. If you're not going to address it, then just don't bring it up and make it so that anyone can use her canary cry. I don't know why they brought that up.
Because they want you to think it's Sarah Lance. I mean, or Laurel Lance.
Yeah, I see that, but then it's lazy for them to not come up with a solution.
Yeah, of course it's lazy.
And then
yeah.
She just like turns all of a sudden and she's at the funeral at the end, whatever. We're probably going to see more of her, I have a feeling. But then at the end, we finally catch up. We get a little bit closer. The tease from throughout the season of the graveyard scene with Barry. But anybody catch the huge continuity error? Did they not know that these episodes were going to line up?
Yeah,
they're both the same number. Just check that. Did they not write
Barry's
one?
Barry's got his fucking speed.
Why the fuck does Barry have his speed? I was like, no, that's
lame.
You guys, you fuck something up if it's supposed to be at the same time. But That
obviously not at the same time, but yeah, they fucked
up. But then I was like, wait, is this later? Is this before? Oh boy. I mean, I'm sure they didn't know. Well, I don't know. They could have tried a little bit harder. But suddenly at the end, it gets really dark, and everyone is like, I'm going to kill that son of a bitch. Go kill that son of a bitch. How am I supposed to kill him? He has magic, and he goes, it's not magic, it's darkness. And I don't know how to kill him. So what I've read is that they're promising – I heard that they closed down a huge part of Vancouver to film a huge battle scene. This thing that's called Genesis, Dark's going to start. And they're like – it's going to be a lot like the end battle scene from season 2 with Deathstroke and all the armies in the street. So they're saying
cool.
They're trying to do something like that and even bigger, which
– Geek Booner!
That gets me excited. Arrow's had a couple of fucking crazy, stupid, filler meandering episodes, but – look, we got some closure, some emotion, and let's get to
the – I mean, it was an okay episode.
Let's get to the
end. I'm glad that Laurel's dead. That's the most important part.
I mean, it really was. They give a lot of time to – everybody's blaming themselves, and they got to figure out who not to blame and deal with the death. Like, a whole episode to this. But it was – the performances kept it going for me, so.
But there's got to be a Black Canary. So what are they going to do for a Black Canary?
Well, maybe it's that girl. Maybe it's Evelyn Sharp. I believe Evelyn Sharp in the comics is a character from like Birds of Prey or something. She might even be the Black Canary in a Birds of Prey.
Ugh.
So they might.
Yeah, I think she is. She is related somehow to the Birds of Prey.
That she might be the Black Canary if they're not.
I really don't like that actress at all.
I didn't like her that much either.
They pulled someone off the street.
Yeah,
and say, hey, put this costume
on. Yeah. It seemed just very not normal. Not just no personality. I don't know. I didn't jive with it. I wasn't feeling it, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Me neither.
You know what I'm saying? All right. Anything else about Arrow?
Like this episode, so.
I'm excited to see all these shows are winding down. I'm excited to see the buildup in this huge battle. Just give me a big battle. All right, moving on.
Jock and Nerd.
Strap yourselves in, you fucks. Spoiler time.
We're about to jump in the Wave Rider and go time traveling, everybody. We're on to this week's Legends of Tomorrow, Season 1, Episode 13, titled Leviathan. Just freshly watched this episode.
Yep. Just watched it. I remember some of it.
All right, Ruggs, you start since you were it's freshest in your cottony, felty head there.
This episode is full of snartiness.
There's a lot of snart. He's kind of like Snarf from Thundercats.
Snarf. Yeah, basically, they go to the future to go and get Vandal Savage and his sandals.
Yeah, Vandal's sandals. Do you think he has got a store at some, like, I see an Egyptian pop-up shop. It's called Vandal Sandals, and he's selling them for...
They're made out of the Hawk Girl metal.
the bracelet.
Okay, so basically they got to go to the legends got to go into the future because that's the only place they know that Vandal Savage is. And it's 3 days before Rip Hunter's family is killed.
Yeah, they're all out of options. This is they got to go to when he's in full power now.
Yeah, so they go and they realize, all right, there's a couple of rebels left, or refugees, and they want to help them out, and they're trying to, like, do their best to, like, figure out a game plan. And they say, hey, we got to kill Vandal Savage with something from the past, you know, from the night that Chiara got murdered or whatever.
Any item from that night will do.
And there's a bracelet on this hot blonde chick.
Badass. Vandal Savage. She's a badass.
Okay? And they're like, hey, well, we got to get this bracelet, and then we could figure out how to kill him with it, which is weird. So they go in and they try and get this bracelet for the girl, but what they end up doing is capturing her and taking the bracelet from her. And we find out that this blonde badass girl is Vandal Savage's daughter.
She's pretty hot.
She's hot and she's badass, and she sounds like Ivanka Trump in the beginning. She's only my father can save us. You have to listen to my father. She's a little bit brainwashed.
Exactly. Now, is she a character? Like, did you get her name?
Cassandra. He finally calls her
Cassandra. Is she a real
character? Hey-o.
Don't talk and vape at the same time, listener.
No.
I don't know if she's a real person. Cassandra Savage. He finally, because they didn't say her name until the very end. I was like, what's her fucking name?
I've always known Savage's daughter, Scandal Savage.
Oh, she's the famous
one. She's Sandals.
She's Scandals, Vandals, Sandals. Yeah. Vandals, Scandals, Sandals.
And Candles.
And Candles. Oh, you got to have candles. Hey, welcome to Vandals and Scandals, Sandals and Candles Shop, everybody.
Are you guys done? What the fuck are you doing?
I don't know. What's going on? I blacked out for a second.
I like to rhyme.
Anytime. It's fine. So she's badass, but leave it to Snart to fucking turn her. He's like,
look. He's like, meh, uses mirror powers.
He's like, meh, your father's a dick, actually. I don't know if you know this. Let me show you something on this video.
Let me show
you
your dad being a dick. Here, roll the tape.
roll the tape. There's your dad. He's a monster.
And then she instantly just turns on her father.
She's like, oh, you know what? All right, he's a monster. Wow. I'm going to help you out. But look, during this, Vandal is, he's all pissed. He's sent... You hear large footsteps and things shaking, and he sent a giant fucking robot after them. I loved the robot.
I loved it.
That was Geek Moon, pink green robot with the nucleus symbol.
But Rip Hunter is the worst pilot on the Earth they're getting attacked by this giant robot, and he starts the ship up, and it just hovers in front of it. And I'm like, you asshole. Go away!
There
were so many times in this episode where I yelled at the TV.
They're all so bad at their job, if you think about it. Because, first of all, he just stands there, and the fucking robot grabs the Wave Rider and just tosses it across.
Frisbee.
Yeah. The other thing that Rip fucks up that he tells, he goes, they're like, look, my family is here, and they're like, why don't you go save them? He goes, well, I've tried to save them countless times, and I've watched them die over and over again.
So what's the point of this whole fucking show, then?
He's like, it's just supposed to be happening. I was like, you are so bad. And then, like, Snart jumping the gun in the beginning causes Savage to go into hiding so they can't find him. Like, these are the worst fucking time travelers ever. Don't they learn their lesson?
There was a moment. Oh, first of all, I yelled at my TV so many times during this episode.
Yeah.
there was another part where everybody gets the jump on Savage and they're all surrounding him and no one shoots him.
They're just standing there.
I'm like, just because you can't kill him doesn't mean you can't injure him and put him down. Fucking shoot him.
And then, like,
they're just sitting there letting him fucking monologue.
They let him monologue and then all the soldiers show up. I was like, great, he was alone and you guys are just standing around and now all these people are here and now you're gonna have to fight them. You guys suck at your job. They all suck at their job.
And then, of course, they have the worst fucking bullshit in this episode.
Which was?
Is that Shiara finally gets the bracelet, melts it down, puts it on the mace.
I love the mace.
All right? She finally has her mace, and she's like, I'm going to melt down this bracelet and use it, put on the mace so I can use it to kill Savage.
And it's working.
And she gets him, and she starts beating the crap out of him. And then random guard, who's unbeatable, comes in, and she fights him and then knocks his helmet off. And it's fucking Hawkman with Lame. No memories.
And the only way.
Yeah, I got it. This is where I got to interject.
Yeah.
So I actually did like this episode. I enjoyed the giant Keiju fight between Giant Adam and whoever the fuck you, Leviathan.
I guess
and
that's Leviathan.
I guess. I know that a lot of stuff doesn't make sense, but for the most part, I actually kind of enjoy the wackiness of it, even though none of it really makes any sense.
Yeah.
But I have to agree with Rug Boy here. When Shiara has a chance to kill Vandal and doesn't because Carter Hall shows up.
So
that
stupid.
Sucks so bad because all along Carter Hall has sucked as a character. We've only seen him for like two or three episodes.
He's a dick.
In this season, and he sucked when he was made his cameo on Flash and Arrow. He's been the worst. Like,
and now
his
he's
character
fucking up
sucks.
This thing.
So
yes,
she
he's
chose
fucking up this thing.
She chose one person over the life and the future
right.
of
let,
the world.
And let's just say this. They reincarnate every time they die. So who cares? Let them die.
But,
and let them be reborn.
However, I wonder if once you kill Savage, that stops. Because that's the only reason they reincarnate is this chase between them.
Well, it's not even the fact that like this character, like it's one life over so many. It's the fact that this character has been so poorly written for this entire show.
You don't
like,
care enough about him.
That character is incompetent. He's always like, I'm going to protect Shiara. Well, no, you haven't, you asshole. Every like thousand, you've died a million times.
Yep.
You can't protect them, and your character, the actor that's acting in that role, sucks.
Yeah.
He has no charisma whatsoever. Like you don't, root
you don't,
for this
you
character.
Don't like him. You don't.
Yeah, it's stupid. You finally have him where you want him, and you don't. You're supposed to give your life to try and stop this guy,
right?
So it's stupid.
But I gotta say the effects are pretty decent. I appreciated the big giant kaiju fight. I liked how they were filming it.
They were so fake, dude.
It wasn't bad though for TV. Like I liked that they were shooting it from the ground up, and I liked that they were slow. They were actually slow and lumbering. It added to the sense of scale with what they had.
It was weird that they CGI'd Brandon Routh's face.
Yeah,
like that was CGI Brandon.
When you could just
They had to match it up. It had to match. So
right.
A human person versus a computer thing, even though it could work, it wouldn't have matched as well if it was CG. So basically, in
why
order
can't
to pay
you green
for this,
screen him and put him in with the CGI though.
They could have, but it probably wouldn't have matched. It would make the other guy look more CG.
You need a really tiny camera then to make it look big.
What they did was, in order to compensate, they made Jax never turn to fucking Firestorm.
I love
at
how
all.
You know where they save money. Like they have to make these. It's so interesting because like writing it, the writers must have to think about this writing the show. Like going back to the creation of the storylines, they gotta be like, we can have one guy do one cool thing. That's all we got money for, or whatever.
Well, that's I mean, that's how TV, like any TV show with CGI.
That's why you're right. That's why Stein got to shrapnel and he was out. He slept through all of it. Because they were like, you know, Firestorm, we can't do it. Just
well, you'll notice even like S.H.I.E.L.D., any of these episodes where a lot of shit happens and a lot of epic stuff happens, the next episode's always a come down episode with it's very personal and like, because they have
to. Out of money.
Well, it helped that they made this thing at night with no background.
Yeah.
They have to flip or impose. Oh, it was like a black screen.
The whole episode was at night. I don't think there was one daytime shot. And then when it wasn't, it was like orange filter 1941 flashback, which probably was shot at night also. Jax, I love Jax's reactions, you know, while he was giving Ray the pep talk. Yeah, and he was like, that's what I'm talking about. So he did a good job with not being sidelined.
I don't know if you guys agree with this, but I think my MVP of the show in the surprise breakout has been Brandon Routh as Adam. I really enjoyed him.
Really?
He's because I like how like he's basically us in terms of like he's like so gung ho about this and like always kind of the nerdy, like that one episode where he's like, I want to be the sheriff. All that stuff. I don't know. It kind of resonates with me in terms of his character.
He does those lines well, where like right in the beginning where she's like, oh, it's the bracelet from when I died. And he's like, that's great. Well, not about the dying part, but the other part. And he's lovable.
Even the episode prior where he's like, am I dead right now? Can you guys hear me?
I'll agree. I will put Ray Palmer up there with the Katie Lotz, who, again, just her.
Oh, she's always solid.
Her fighting every time. Just show me more of her fighting. Show me more of her fighting women. It looked great, and it's awesome.
Yeah. So do you think this chick's going to join the team?
Well, they turned her. She was on their side.
I like her.
End.
I hope they do. I hope she turns.
Oh, so at the end, they, because of stupid Kendra, they have Savage in a cell now. Now what the fuck? And what does he say? I didn't even catch the – I was like, now what are you going to do? What happens?
Well, they got to like hack his brain. Wow, it's so stupid.
They have a time travel machine. Just kill him. Go back to another time when Carter's around. Grab him. Then everybody go home. Well, how about that?
You know, while this episode was happening, I checked. I hit info on the button on the remote just to see if this was the season finale.
No.
And I realized it wasn't, but I was like – as stupid as this show is, if this is the season finale, I'm completely okay with this. Like it ending right here, just because it built up to that point where it was like they have him. Shara's finally gotten over the hump of like the mental hurdle of facing Vandal. She has him. They have a huge kaiju fight. Like what? How much more epic can this get?
It's only going to be a letdown from here on.
But like the only thing I want, I feel like they need to resolve the Savage thing this season. I don't want this to go into next season. Let's do something else. So I don't know. It's only episode 13. This is how many episodes does this fucking thing have?
Hey, do you guys remember Young Justice?
Yes.
And Artemis, was she working for Vandal Savage, or was she a bad guy first?
No, she was.
Wasn't she double agent or mind control?
Double agent. She was a double agent.
There was a couple of double agents though. Black Manta was double agent.
Yeah. Okay, because I was like maybe pegging her as Artemis for some reason.
It's interesting that they made him Giant Man. That's all I'm saying. Okay, moving on.
Become Giant Man in comics? Does anyone know that?
Yeah, I believe Adam does get big in the comic.
He does get big. I always thought he just
Rugs. Painful. Do you know?
Sometimes.
It would make sense. Like, if you have the ability to get small, you get the ability to get big, and then just go bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Sorry.
What a dick I am. All right.
Just like your dong.
Dick dong.
It gets smaller, and sometimes it gets bigger.
Sometimes it gets bigger, sometimes it gets smaller. Sometimes it shrinks.
If you're in the water, you're swimming in cold water.
Embiggen the felty penis. All right, we're moving on. The Jock and Ned Podcast.
Jordan, let's not spend too much time on this one.
Jordan says feltinals. Is that? Oh, yeah. I forgot already. Felty genitals. Yes. I thought it was like felty. It could also be like felty millennials. Feltinals. Like really?
There you go, like me.
Yeah. Entitled shitty young felties who want
anything. Yeah. That's like what my nephew would be like.
Goddamn feltinals. They can't take any criticism. All right. We're not going to spend too much time because, Ruggs, did you watch this week's episode of Fear the Walking Dead?
No.
I'm going to ask you every week. Not. Especially because there was another big show you were watching that we do not watch. I will not mention it because we're going to get nerd hate. But we're at season 2, episode 3. I can barely pronounce the title of this one. It's called Ouroboros. I'm not sure what that refers. Yes, that's the one, Jordan. I got to say, I'm just going to start out with one of the best recap headlines I found for this episode. The headline was, Boat Full of Idiots Meets Plane Full of Zombies.
Oh, shit.
That pretty much sums up the episode. Yeah. There wasn't really a plot, but there was cool action scenes. And one of the big things is this Flight 462 web series, finally met. With Fear the Walking Dead, they come upon the plane crash.
So I haven't had a chance to talk about Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, go! What do you think so far? Yeah, that's good.
It sucks, dude. it's so lame. Bad. I'm like Rugboy. Like if I didn't, except I feel obligated to watch because I'm a Walking Dead fan,
right?
But it just sucks, dick. I mean, the show is Walking Dead light at best. It's the characters suck. The two leads, what's his name? The Maori guy and the wife are both terrible. When she threatens Strand, it's like, I will throw you off the boat. Get the fuck out of here, bitch. Like, are you serious? Like, this whole show, there's nothing new about this show. We're seeing the same exact things.
Yeah,
we're seeing these characters learn how to deal with zombies, learn how to deal with apocalypse, be in a situation where they're by themselves and have to deal with situations where
and still
they
make,
have to make the tough choice.
Make stupid right? decisions. Yeah, make stupid, make, stupid, contrived right. things.
Listen,
like,
listen. This is, am I, are you, have, this show is not treading any new ground. We saw all this shit with Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's not
what
new.
The fuck is this show for? It's just these situations on a boat in California. Who gives a fuck?
When Salazar marched up with all those zombies behind him to the army,
yeah.
I was just like, I'm done with the show. I'll watch it just for the courtesy of finishing the season.
Well, you were but done then.
The season is over. I'm done. Because I didn't like anybody. There was no magic there. The magic was not there. I'm sorry. It wasn't.
I agree. Girl. There's it's like the cool stuff from this episode was also questionable. Like Nick all of a sudden figures out that smearing blood on his face, he can walk through the walkers. Great visually, but how the fuck they didn't show you how he figured that out. I did enjoy he comes face to face with a walker at one point and tries to imitate his sounds.
You know
like
what?
He's studying.
About that, even that, that's my, that goes to my point.
Yeah.
We've seen characters from The Walking Dead figure this
out.
Yeah,
why couldn't they?
I don't want to see this again. I don't want to see this with shittier characters. This is not treading any new ground.
I get you.
Fuck
you're right.
Show.
They should have figured out another contrived way that he could disguise that we haven't seen.
They should have spent more time on the fall of a city. Like, that would have been interesting. And the military and how a military turns on its people.
Yeah.
That's all new ground we never would have saw, but they rushed through that shit in two episodes.
This episode was like,
I hate this show.
It was
I'm
just
so
it was just a bunch of like horror type scenes. Just for horror value that kind of they just did for no reason. That it didn't really further the plot or anything.
You get a walker stuck in a fucking pipe in a boat.
A walker stuck in a boat. You got there. I did love Crab Walker. There was a walker stuck in a hole and crabs were crawling in and out of him. It was very creepy. But then stupid Nick, they do the stupid thing where, oh, he slips and falls in the hole. Oh, bored. Like, really? Really?
Well, you literally had – okay, I'll just point out the stupidity. You have – what's his name? The Hispanic guy?
Chris.
No.
Salazar.
Salazar literally tells all the kids,
stay in view.
Stay within eyesight.
Chris
so
is an
Chris,
idiot.
The first thing he does, gets out of eyesight.
He fucking walks off like a dumbass. He
walks off and explores like a dumbass.
Although he's getting good at killing walkers and humans that are dying. That was kind of disturbing, him smashing the guy's head. And I kind of got that he maybe feels sympathy for what his dad had to do for his mom, but I just
you know what Chris is learning? What every goddamn character on The Walking Dead learned in the
just
first
fucking
season.
Kill them. And why does Strand need Travis to fix the boat? I thought this is your goddamn boat. You don't know how to fix your boat? He's like it's just a reason for him to be valuable. But I did love how Alex, the plane survivor, is just she's killing perfectly healthy people to protect a kid who's been burned, who's probably going to die and turn anyways. And she kills like people who are just fine because of, well, I don't know why.
We are, I'm making the call. We are no longer reviewing this show.
Okie dokie, it's cut.
Terrific.
Bro, do you even podcast?
The jock
listen,
has
if
spoken
this
official.
Popular, we'll jump back on the train. Yeah. But right now, I can't, listen, if you can't see that, I can't even remember the shows that I've watched. Because I really am not going to remember the show that I really don't want to watch. I'm really just
that,
not
you know, that's a good
I will
point.
Still watch it, but I don't need to talk about it on this show unless something happens. That's
yeah.
Good.
And I said, like, it's, I mean, like I said last episode, I'm the only asshole watching everything. Like, me and you, Ruggs, watch Supergirl, which you, Anthony, do not. Me and you, Anthony, will watch Fear the Walking Dead, which you, Rugboy, will not.
I watch Gotham, too.
I can't hate on you guys watching Supergirl, but you guys watch Gotham.
I watch Gotham. It's entertaining. It's a fucking...
I would rather watch Gotham any day than watch, you know, what Fear the Walking
Dead. Gotham is the complete polar opposite in the sense that so many fucking things happen in one episode. It does not stop for a second. It's just going head forward, like just barreling
hey man,
through shit.
It's entertaining.
It is. It is.
It's not good, but it's entertaining.
It's not Batman, and it's not good, but it's entertaining. Cosmo Fox says, "Dear, the Walking Dead's theme should be Lonely Islands, I'm on the boat." Oh, Fear the Walking Dead. Sorry, that's a typo when I read it.
It's a typo.
I'm on a boat, motherfucker. Don't you ever
hey,
forget.
Man. For those of you that want to talk about Game of Thrones, in the after show we could talk about
absolutely. It. You guys, if you're in the blab, once we end, we'll open it up. Feel free to geek out about Game of Thrones. Have at it. Listen, I got tons of listener shit to read. I am so excited. We are going to get to that right now.
Nerd.
So we had a lot of comments about the most popular thing from our recent shows was the fact that Anthony went to a Justin Bieber
lame
concert. It got a lot of visceral responses from people. So I got a couple of tweets.
Oh, I can't wait for this now.
I got a couple of tweets from David Bilofsky from A Place to Hang Your Cape, one of the sites that carried this
show.
Before
you read those, can I just say I hate when people go to things and are like, oh, I was forced to go. Oh, I kind of regret it, blah, blah, blah. I'll just say I own it. I went to the Justin Bieber concert. Give me the hate. I went there and I somewhat enjoyed it, but I went on my own volition.
Okay, so that's perfect because this is what these tweets are. Because Anthony, I don't know if you listened to the show, we gave people options. We were like, A, do you think that Jock is going to own this? Or B, do you think he's going to backtrack? So David Bilofsky writes in at Jock and Nerdcast, the Jock will defend Bieber, but only to hide his shame. Hashtag Jock Shame, hashtag Tony Believes. Those are great. Those are great, Molosky. And then Molosky follows that one up because then he combines – this is brilliant. He combines another thing we were talking about on that episode where I was like, everyone has a fanboy pass. Hashtag fanboy pass, David Molosky. Bieber is the Jocks. Hashtag fanboy pass. Hashtag Tony believes. David Molosky, you win tweet of the week with that one. Thank you very much. Well done.
That's good.
That's moving on to one of our favoritest new listeners, Ron O'Rourke. He's fucking awesome. Oh, no. Ron, that's if awesome. You're listening, if you guys listened to the Haters Guide, we read his email last episode. I got a couple of follow-up emails with some fun stuff here. Ron says, hey, Imran, great to hear back from you. Amazon frowns on blatant self-promoting and advertising in reviews, but I didn't see anything wrong with some shout-outs. I hope readers ask themselves, what the hell is a jock and nerd, and go Google it. So he left two reviews and slipped our name in. I'm going to paste this one in the chat here, and it's in the show notes, listener. Definitely check out the show notes, jockandnerd.com/97.
I'm not going to read his Bieber thought on me.
Oh yeah, well I'm working up to that. I'm not going to read this whole review, but basically,
the review
is really long, and it deals with. He starts it out talking about how he bought – I'm just going to read the first line, and then I'll tell you what the review is. He goes, I recently purchased an old bus and converted it into a clothing optional dance club on wheels.
Oh, shit.
This is a review for a cervical neck support collar. And it goes on from there about a rave van and getting people to go in his van. And then he shouts this out at the end. So then he comes back. He's like, I think you may enjoy that one. Let Anthony know he has an all-access pass to my rave on wheels. Screw Nevada. This van is where the action is.
Geek boner.
I'm only joking. Unfortunately, the magic bus full of nude college girls only exists in my mind. When I'm at work and not listening to your show, I like to daydream about that bus and smile.
Yes.
And that's not the last we heard from Ron, because I wrote him back, and he wrote back again. He goes, I listened to episode 95 today at work and then realized the post-show on Blab ran a couple hours longer. No shit. So I listened to that, too. 6 hours of Jock and Nerd really helps pass the day.
Geek boner.
Rugs, this guy is playing. He's listening to all of it. He says, I'm looking forward to episode 97. I can't wait to hear Anthony explain why the hell he went to a Justin Bieber concert. It really is unbelievable.
It's
unbelievable. He should have scalped the tickets and used the money to buy comics. I didn't have him pegged as a Belieber. I can picture him screaming along with the tweens in the audience. It really is unsettling. And you're right. That's a great image.
Hey, listen, that's what I said. Only a jock could pull that shit off.
Absolutely. And he finishes off saying, I also can't believe episode 100 is drawing near. Congrats. I can't wait to see
we're building
what
up
you
100.
Have in store for 100. It's a big milestone. So make it epic. Later, your neighbor to the north, Ron. So I guess he's Canadian.
Whoa. Hey.
Should we? We got a plan for 100, listener. That's all I'm going to say. Sort of a plan.
It'll be a good one.
We have a plan.
We have a plan, which is a lot more than the DCEU has sometimes, I think.
Oh, another shot.
Oh, snap. Oh, shit. Oh, look, Captain America Civil War. Buy your tickets now. Finally, we have an email from our buddy Jose Dennis.
He's been on the show, right?
He's been on the show. He was on the Geeking Out, the old-fashioned Geek Out. I forgot what episode number that is.
That's a pretty deep one. If you really want to know funny shit. About like personal lives. There you go.
It's very personal, deep cut guys hanging out episode. But Jose is awesome, and This is in response to the Haters Guide. We touched a nerve because this is what he says. He said, I had to pause the podcast. I know it's a Haters episode. I get it. I dig Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, shit.
Myself, but then I don't read all the comics, so what do I know? I would like to answer Anthony's questions. Why is Mac in S.H.I.E.L.D.? Why is May in S.H.I.E.L.D.? The short answer is, it's a fucking job. What kind of noble reasons do you guys have to go to your 9-to-5? How many times have you guys sent a fucking paycheck back saying, no, it was my pleasure. The world needs us marketing shit to them. Furthermore, with regards to them not all being field agents, they can't all be bruisers. Espionage is just as much, if not more, about intelligence gathering than it is about punching people in the head. Sure, Bobby looks great hitting dudes with sticks, but I bet the bitch can't change a flat.
Oh, shit.
They need a mechanic to keep that giant plane in the air, and they need scientists to analyze the data. The balance works for me every time I'm just about bored listening to them talk, an awesome fight scene happens. And this is coming from someone who used to hate that show. Sheesh, I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. Keep up the good work, boys. Jose, thanks for writing.
Oh, Jose used to hate that show.
Right.
That's true.
I thought so. Anthony, comment.
Hated that show with a passion.
I got a response to this.
You take it.
Why is Mac and S.H.I.E.L.D.? The response is he's saying it's a fucking job. All right. A fucking job that you fall into is like working at McDonald's. Or like a job like to pass the time is like being a fucking accountant or something stupid like that. I don't think anybody that's like – and the most comparable things to S.H.I.E.L.D. would be like a cop, firefighter, soldier, CIA agent, FBI agent. I don't think these are jobs you just fall into.
These are jobs
that you kind of work towards and altruistically want to do.
This is your purpose in life.
These are jobs that are mean more than just falling into. I don't think anyone's ever fallen into being a policeman.
These are careers. Like, this is a career move. It's not just a job.
Yeah. So I don't buy that argument for Mac. And if it is just a job for Mac, then it better fucking pay well. And I wanted to hear why he would be in that job. Like, I don't think any Mac has fallen into being a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. Like that doesn't resonate with me. And it no one's ever fallen into being like a firefighter. You don't want to, there's training involved. This isn't flipping burgers.
And it's almost like this is in you. Like you're born to be a special agent or a firefighter or a cop.
Right.
You know. Yeah, maybe it's like a family thing. Maybe his dad
was
a
Donald
agent.
Trump and you want to be president of the United States, you just kind of fall into that, right?
He's falling into all sorts of shit.
I mean, there's a checkmate to that right there. I just feel like being president today. Let's start a campaign, motherfuckers.
Oh boy.
There we go.
Choose wisely, listeners.
Yeah,
Choose wisely. That's the lesson. But I guess so. You're saying you don't buy
Alaska. What's her name?
Who?
You think that she was like altruistic? Sarah Palin?
Oh, Sarah Palin. No,
yeah, she was just like,
she wanted a reality show. That's why she did it. That's all it was. So look, thanks for sending us things. You guys have been killing it. Please continue to comment, ask us questions, send us thing. You can go to jockandnerd.com/contact. You'll find our email, our Twitter, all that shit. And we love it. I just want to thank our networks that we're on. Like I just said, A Place to Hang Your Cape, Weeby Geeks, Tangent Bound Network, and you can listen to our latest show on geeklife.radio.com every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Ruggs, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me at Really Rug Boy on Twitter, and you can tweet me there.
Tweet him hard, tweet him fast. That's how he likes it.
Tweet me long and deep.
Tweet him soft and wet, like the Prince song.
Yeah.
All that shit. We modeling some Jock and Nerd gear. You could get your own, listener. jockandnerd.com/shop. Pick our logo, put it on whatever you want. There's a bunch of color options. You get a ringer tee, a hoodie, a mug, a drinking bottle, a little bandana for your doggy. We got all sorts of shit over there.
No Rug Boy shirts yet, though.
Well, I think the demand is there.
There's none.
I may have to. If anything, I want to incorporate you into the main logo, put you like right next to it as an option. Long and hard, Jordan of the Pie says. Subscribe to the podcast if you wouldn't mind. It would help us out. Just go to jockandnerd.com/review. It'll take you to the iTunes page. And leave us a nice review so that someone looking for a geek podcast sees all these wonderful reviews. Thank you if you left a review. They're amazing.
Yes, thank you. We've gotten a ton of reviews and just want to tell the audience that our calls to action have been working. This show is rising in the amount of downloads that we're getting all the time. So keep up the good work. You guys are a part of something awesome and keep pushing the show. Your efforts are being noticed.
We can't thank you enough. Rugs, you yelling at them for like 15 weeks in a row is actually working.
Yeah. Nerd. They listen to me for some reason.
But dude, we see the bump. You guys are, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Keep spreading the word. Keep spreading the gospel of Rug Boy. Right, Rugs?
Yeah. It's working, guys.
It's working.
I mean, that's what it, you're the street team. You're the street team. You know, right. Every rock band has a street team that goes around and talks about it and blah, blah, blah. And the band becomes famous and popular. And you guys are our street team.
And we love you for it. Keep up the good work. And we're going to keep geeking out. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We're going to open the show up to the blabbers. But this has been the main Jock and Nerd podcast. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And we'll catch you next time.
Good Earth, everyone.
Good Earth to you. Rugs, you said something about Game of Thrones. I know you love the show, and I know I'm missing out. And Jordan, you're right. It's probably one of the best things on television that I'm not watching. It's just there's a lot of things to watch. Well, I really want to watch it, but I got to sit down and watch fucking 65 episodes now or some shit.
Yeah, but it'll fly right by. You won't be able to stop watching it. It's just, it's one of the best shows on TV.
I know. Right?
One of the best shows on TV besides, okay, The Walking Dead's up there. Breaking Bad's up there. Better Call Saul, I like a lot too. And Fargo, and then I'll put this one as the
next
one.
But this
one
is HBO, and HBO generally is the best thing on TV. I mean, Sopranos ruled that slot the whole run it was on. You'd wait 2 years for Sopranos, and you did. I was like, I'll wait. It's good, and it was worth it.
So let me just quickly talk about Game of Thrones.
You can spoil it for me. I don't give a fuck. At this point, I'm going to forget.
You're not going to know what the fuck I'm talking
about
anyway.
And I'm going to forget by the time if I ever catch up. I'm not going to remember anyway. So
basically, the last episode ended with Jon Snow, okay? And he dies. His whole entire team turns on him. Not whole, like these dissenters turn on him and stab him, and they kill him and leave him in the snow. And basically,
they leave Snow in the snow?
Very poetic. Jon Snow in the snow, all right, bleeding out.
All right.
And, you know, the other guys that are on his team, what are they called? The White Night Watch?
Yeah. Just,
like the people that were loyal to him found him and they're like, what the fuck? And they quickly sequester him into this room and try and protect him, even though he's dead. They're like, what are we going to do? You know, whatever. So you think that there's an evil... Not an evil witch, the witch, the Red Witch, Melisandre.
Melisandre.
I saw some tweets and articles about this, something about her.
And she was able to resurrect somebody in the past.
Okay.
Right? Game of Thrones. Previously.
I see.
So you think that she hasn't done anything yet. But she just revealed that when she takes off her necklace, she gets old woman saggy boobs and she turns into an old lady. So yeah, basically.
According to the creator, she is several centuries old.
Whoa. Yes.
So she uses the necklace to give her powers of looking young and beautiful.
Okay.
Yes.
So they leave you with that hanging. So that's one story arc that's there. The second story arc that they touched upon was the brother and sister, the Lannisters.
Are they fucking each other?
Yeah, they were fucking each other, but they reunite. They reunite. Like, the brother left to go get the daughter who was being held captive in another country.
Okay.
And he goes there to get her, and then they poison her, and unbeknownst to them, he's taking her home, and she dies in it, like right in front of him.
Oh.
And so she basically is waiting for, you know, her brother coming back with her daughter on a boat, and she sees that he's dead. And so she's flipping the fuck out, and she's like, I'm going to – and then they both say, hey, we're going to get revenge on the people who did this. We're going to fucking kill everybody. So now they've basically chosen new enemies to thwart against the people that killed her daughter, okay? So the people of Dorne are the people that they're going to go after, yeah. I guess.
They all look like Michael Dorn from Star Trek?
They look exactly
they're
like –
they're all Klingons? Yeah, guys dressed up as Klingons. Let me ask you this. What do you think a dragon egg omelet would taste like? Do you think it'd be good? What kind of spices do you use with that?
Yeah,
rosemary, sage?
It might be tough to eat.
Really?
Put some sriracha on it.
Sriracha. I mean, are they big eggs or are they little eggs?
Like, they're huge. They're like the size of watermelons.
Organic, cage-free. I only eat cage-free dragon
eggs. They're like
eggs.
Ostrich-sized eggs.
Well, that's I don't think the dragons were harmed in making of those eggs. I think those eggs were a result of dragon humping.
Ian Larry says the Superman Batman movie sucked ass. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, well, he seems to be like 3 weeks behind. He's talking about things that happened like 4 weeks ago. He's like, Supergirl was on Flash. No shit. Welcome to 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago. We did talk about that.
No, this is a live show. We're talking about things that just happened.
Ago. Go just subscribe to the podcast at jocknerd.com and you'll get our thoughts. We're just busting your balls, Larry. That's all right.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, we're doing a live podcast.
This is happening right now? Oh shit.
Yeah.
I thought we had taped this. This is not pre-taped?
Yeah.
Wait, how
are we gonna talk about things that we already talked about like 3 weeks ago?
Oh, Larry's in a coma. I apologize. That's why he's a little behind. That makes sense.
Food coma?
If you were in a coma, you would have missed all of this. Welcome back, Larry. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah.
Somebody get him a bag of saline stat.
Let me review all the things that Larry has talked about.
Okay.
Pixels. I saw the movie. It sucked balls.
It's a horrible movie.
Let's see. Flash and Supergirl. Cute, but who cares?
Great episode.
Superman and Batman movie sucked ass.
Agreed.
Of course it did.
Yeah.
Welcome to the world. Nobody liked it. And if you did, you're David Zika.
Larry, by the way, Donald Trump is now president. I don't know when you woke up, but you missed that also. Yeah. We have a president.
And water is wet now.
Water is now wet, and you have to pay for it. They put it in bottles, and they make you buy it. Have we caught you up? I hope you're caught up.